powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Great to have your company wherever you might be listening. And that number, 1-300-736-736. Midday Madness is underway. The promise, you call, you get on. So anything you'd like to chat about, 1-300-736-736. That's the open line for Werribee Kia. They're open for business with social distancing down at Werribee Kia. If you're in the market for a new car, drop down and have a look through their new car showroom. But the lines are open for Midday Madness, as they always are at this time, for you to jump on and have your say. 1-300-736-736. We've got a heap of interviews a little bit later on in the program. Craig Vozzo, West Coast General Manager of Football. Hub up, baby. That's what we're doing. Get ready to go. Pack your bag. You're heading west. In fact, the way it stands right now, round 6 and 7, as we heard from Travis Old last night and earlier today on SEN, round 6 and 7 are going to be redone. So forget what round 6 and 7 looked like a week ago. They're about to be completely redone. Victorian teams look like they're going to have to come to South Australia and maybe Tasmania or New South Wales on their way home from WA. So it was looking like Victorian teams might be away for 3 weeks. They might now be away for five. So you go to WA for 3 weeks. You play your games against each other. So Collingwood and Geelong play against each other. That's the way it's scheduled. And then you play Fremantle and you play the West Coast Eagles. And then on your way home, you're probably going to have to drop into either South Australia, Tasmania, if we get a hub there, or even New South Wales, maybe even the ACT, if the Giants want to take you down there. That's the way it's looking right now. It could be 4 to 5 weeks away. But that's the situation. And we will have a situation where there'll be players who don't want to do it. And that's okay. We talked about that months ago. You don't want to do it. Go, don't go. And we'll accept it. If you've got a baby due, we understand you've got a baby due. You might be able to join the hub late. You might be able to leave the hub early, depending on when your baby is due, or if you've got a sick partner or you've got a sick family member. We'll understand it. But we'll take a few of your calls. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Heaps of stuff, especially the stuff that fell through the cracks yesterday, fell through the cracks of the mayhem of that round five fixture being revised. And there's a few I want to I want to get to your call straight away, though. Brian and Turak and Sean on the road, but a couple that I wanted to address yesterday, but we ran out of time, fell through the cracks. One, I want to congratulate Gill for weighing in on the holding the ball adjudication debate. Congratulations, Gill, for being honest with an opinion. That's what we want. Now, some have whacked Gill, said that it shouldn't be his area. He shouldn't publicly be telling the umpires how to umpire. But I'm the opposite to this one, and I just want to put that on the agenda because I didn't get a chance to yesterday. I'm the opposite. We need to hear honesty from the AFL. We need to hear what the AFL is actually thinking. Not the spin, not after they've been able to sit down in an office and work their way through the marketing department and then come out with a media release. I love the fact that Gill gave us an opinion from his heart on the run, not the spin. And the commission never talks. We don't know what the commission really thinks about the state of the game. So good on you, Gill, for giving us an opinion on the holding the ball situation. And I think there's also something that was said yesterday that I don't agree with. Gerard Whateley mentioned that everybody's got their own agenda when it comes to the state of the game. Everybody thinks this rule's right and that rule's not right and this should change and that shouldn't change and there's no consensus. I actually disagree with that. I think there is consensus on two things. I reckon 90%, maybe even 95% of the football public believe that it would be a good change to change a kick length minimum from 15 metres to 20 metres. We've already changed it once from 10 metres to 15 metres. How bad would the game look right now if you could still kick 10 metres? So that was a good change. That change worked. No one complained about that change. No one's looking back at that change now and saying, well, that was stupid. We're all applauding that change as being the right change. So I think 95% of people would agree that that is a change that is a no-brainer. You push the kick length out to 20 metres. And I reckon, well, 1-300-736-736 if you don't agree with that. But I reckon that is one that we have consensus on. And I reckon we also have consensus now on any kick backward outside your attacking 50 is play on. I reckon we have consensus on that. I reckon we have 90% approval rating of that. That, to me, also is a no-brainer. But a heap of other stuff to get to as well, including something Gary Lyon said yesterday that slipped through the cracks. So we'll talk about that very shortly as well. But your calls, firstly, Midday Madness is underway, 1-300-736-736. Let's go to Brian in Toorak. Welcome to you, Brian.
Yeah, g'day. G'day, Dwayne. I'm amazed at all the talk at the moment about how compromised the season is. I've got a different take on it. I actually think this is probably the fairest season we've ever had, especially with the Victorian teams also going the road, because it actually then ends up being the same for everyone. There's no crowds to impact the game. And if everyone's going through the same pain, it's actually the most even season. You know what I mean? Everyone plays with each other once,
yeah,
and everyone will go on the road, and everyone will have to go through the same hardship. So it's actually quite even. It's not in any way distorted the way past seasons have been.
No, and the interesting part, Brian, is if you've already got a premiership, if you've already got a couple of premierships, and you're 30, and your family's the most important thing, you might have a different view to somebody else that is, you know, 19 years of age, doesn't have a family, and don't have kids, and don't have to consider that, and actually, you know, needs to put some money in the bank. So we're going to get people making different different assessments as to whether they will or won't go based on their previous circumstance. And that's fair enough. I mean, teams that have players with premierships might have some players that won't want to go because they're not necessarily as desperate to get the flag as maybe the Port Adelaide players are right now. So we've got to accept everybody's circumstances being different. But I guarantee you, it'll be front page news. Even though we say we'll accept it, the first person who puts his hand up and says, I'm not going, will be front page news. Just like it's front page news now that Trent Cotchin said that some players aren't going to go. And I'll play you that grab shortly. Dan in Rye, welcome to you, Dan.
Hey, Dwayne. Yeah, look, with all the controversies that have been going on recently, I think the Demons are flying under the radar. And it feels like all the good work that Paul Roos did in his 4 or 5 years there and riding on a finals berth a couple of years ago has all been undone. Second last year, back in the bottom four this year, a totally systemless forward line. When is the blowtorch going to start to come on Simon Goodwin? Because it's not good enough.
Dan, you mentioned one that I wanted to mention yesterday but slipped through the cracks, and I mentioned that it's something Gary Lyon said yesterday. Hopefully we've still got the grab here. Here's Gary Lyon saying yesterday that virtually, he doesn't think, probably, Melbourne can't win the flag. He actually mentioned Melbourne in the bracket of teams with the winless Adelaide and the winless Fremantle. Now, I don't want to take him out of context, so you assess what Gary Lyon said yourself. Here it is.
I think this is the most winnable grand final in my time of watching football seriously. I think this is as wide open as I've ever, ever seen the game. I think, look, you can make a case for anyone winning this grand final. I'm not joking. I'm not saying it lightly just to make a statement. I think you could go, well, clearly Adelaide can't, Fremantle can't, Melbourne probably can't, although it's the sort of thing, St Kilda can win the grand final, Brisbane clearly, Port Adelaide on top are great, North Melbourne. I mean, it is really so winnable. It is so winnable. I've never seen it more open, Wisp, ever.
That was Gary Lyon yesterday, Dan. So he said Melbourne can't, Fremantle can't, Adelaide can't, Melbourne probably can't. So, Dan, do you think he's got the same suspicion as you that Melbourne probably can't?
Oh, I think he slipped Melbourne in there. And what an indictment that you've got 18 teams and a team that finished in the preliminary final 2 years ago are being mentioned as one of three teams in an 18-team competition that can't win a grand final. It's embarrassing. Something's gone wrong, and all of the careful drafting and the careful recruitment done during the Roos era is looking like it's going to waste. It's a big concern.
Yeah, I picked that up yesterday when Gary said it and wanted to replay it yesterday. I'm glad you brought it up, Dan, and there it is on the agenda today because it slipped through the cracks. Jamie in South Australia. Welcome to you, Jamie.
Hey. Two comments. So you said that everyone agrees with the marking distance.
I think 90 to 95% would agree that pushing the distance out to 20 metres would be an improvement, just as it was an improvement pushing it from 10 to 15.
But they already don't pay it. They still don't pay it. They pay marks for 10 metres or they won't pay the 15 metres.
And they do, so the umpires have to be good on it. Yeah, so do you agree with the change and just the umpires need to actually be a bit more diligent with calling it play on?
Yeah, sure, if they pay it.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the hubs, the AFL have really stuffed this up a bit because for 3 weeks we've known that Victoria's cases were rising. They had an opportunity to move the Victorian teams out then and didn't do it. And now we're in a situation where teams are having to quarantine.
Yeah, in some ways they did the right thing by getting a hub done in Queensland. So they kind of pulled that right rein last week. But when they announced the fixture for round 6 and 7, as I said last week, they should have considered sending every Victorian team outside of Victoria because the spike was already last week to the point that Victoria wasn't going to allow crowds. And as I said last week, you had to send all the Victorian teams to places where there are crowds because right now the thing that footy's missing most is crowds. If we have games played in front of crowds, then it will seem closer to normal than it has been for months. And Brendan Gale mentioned it on this program yesterday. He actually said what's wrong with Richmond right now, maybe, is part of it due to the fact that they're used to playing in front of crowds. They might be better in WA where there's crowds than they are right now at home with no crowds. Thanks for your call. Appreciate your call. Jamie in SA. Jake in Doreen. Welcome to you, Jake.
I've got a question. How the team Victorian teams have to move, how will they do that if they have to move and quarantine for 2 weeks?
So, Jake, the teams that go to Western Australia, which is Collingwood and Geelong now, and it might be an extra team joining them, they're allowed to play against each other whilst they're in quarantine, Jake. So they go over there, stay in the hotel. They're not allowed to leave the hotel. They just go to the Oval to train, and then they meet each other during that first week of quarantine. And then once their 14 days of quarantine is essentially up, then they can actually break out and play Fremantle, and the following week play the West Coast Eagles. And then they can get on a plane and head to South Australia on the way home, Jake, because South Australia's borders are only going to be shut to Victoria. If you come in from, and we'll check this, Corey Wingard's going to join us. So I'm looking forward to talking to the sports minister from South Australia. I've just been told he's about to join us in about 15 or 20 minutes' time because he has a window of opportunity. So, yeah, you can go to South Australia on the way home, Jake, because the border between South Australia and Perth and WA is not shut. So that's how we do it, Jake.
Okay, thank you.
Good stuff. Thanks for your call. James in Box Hill. Hello, James.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. I'd also like to, debate the 20-metre kick extension rule.
Yep.
I look at footy and I'm a Melbourne supporter, so I can weigh in on that as well if you like, but I watched the Cats game and that's a game that sparked all this debate. The Cats chipped it around. They weren't kicking it 15 or 20 metres. They were chipping it around across the ground, up the line, more like 25, 30 metres. I don't think extending it to 20 metres is going to really change things. All it's going to do is currently they adjudicate between a 15-metre kick and blow the whistle according to that. If you extend it out to 20, I think you're going to bring the umpire's adjudication into more kicks because a 20-metre kick is more frequent than a 10 to 15-metre kick. So all of a sudden there's a lot more whistleblowing and adjudication required by the umpires. And in actual fact, I don't think it's going to change the game because I think the kicking across the ground and backwards and they're 30-metre kicks, right? They're not sort of 15 to 20-metre kicks, typically. I mean, there's obviously some, but I don't think it's going to do much. And I think all it's going to do is increase the pressure on umpires to make those calls, which
I think there's more short kicks than there are 20, 25-metre kicks. So actually, the umpires are making more decisions now on those 15-metre kicks than they would be if the kick went 20. Because it would be simpler for them to just call play on. They wouldn't have to work out whether it's a mark or not, in my assessment. And my assessment of it is, now some people say, well, the defence will just fold back and allow that backward kick. But if the kick backwards was play on, if the kick had to be 20, I think you'd see more defensive teams attack the bloke who's about to receive that ball. I reckon they'd send a guy to that guy and pressure that guy straight away. As soon as that backward kick is on its way, you attack that guy because you know that he's going to be under pressure. As soon as he marks it, then your attacking pressure might cause him to fumble it rather than just sit back and let him take the mark and accept it. So that's why I think the backward kick would be pressured. I think that kick would send send it back to a guy who's going to be attacked by someone from the opposition to put that pressure on him. So I don't think teams would just allow that backward kick and fold back their own defence. But that's my assessment of it. That's why I like it. Appreciate your call, James. Chris, Craig, Dave in Mernda, Ian and Altona, we'll come to you all after the break. As I mentioned, Corey Wingo has just told us that he will come on, the Minister for Sport, so we'll find out what the border restriction rules are going to do for teams coming that might be from Victoria, but they're coming back from WA or back from Tassie or back from Queensland, as it stands right now, for Port Adelaide and the Adelaide Crows, and back from New South Wales. All that and your calls as Midday Madness continues. The promise is you call, you get on, and I promise you will.